Welcome to the ProPublica podcast. I'm Robert Federici. I cover money and politics here at ProPublica. The 2016 presidential campaign has forced reporters to fact-check like never before, but no reporter has done so as aggressively, publicly, and entertainingly as Washington Post reporter David Farenthold. Over the last few months, he has set out on an epic journey, not to debunk Donald Trump's claims of donating millions to charity, but to prove them true. Despite his exhaustive efforts, he hasn't been able to, which has raised serious questions about Trump's claims. David, thanks for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Tell us first a little bit about the moment when this project was first conceived.
It started actually back in Iowa, New Hampshire. You remember Trump had this big fundraiser for veterans in Iowa in January, and he said, I've raised $6 million for veterans. So then I was with him in Iowa, New Hampshire, and I saw him bring these groups up on the stage. You know, he'd call a local veterans group up on the stage and give them this big oversized novelty check. And I got back after those events and I said, well, let me check two things. One, did the people that got the oversized novelty checks really get a real check with the actual money? And two, I don't think that the checks that I saw him give out were enough to pay off $6 million. And that launched into this line of reporting where we sort of tried to figure out what happened to the $6 million Trump raised in Iowa. It turned out that he'd only given away about half of it. And then eventually his campaign said that he'd actually given away his personal $1 million of that $6 million, and that was wrong. We sort of brought Trump out in the open, and he finally did give the $1 million. And in the course of that, just looking at that one little piece of Trump's philanthropy, the $6 million, it made us think, okay, well, if Trump is willing to sort of treat philanthropy like this, even when he's raised it in the public eye in the middle of this huge scrutiny of a presidential campaign, let's look at what he's been doing with charity the past few years when he hasn't been under that much scrutiny. There's this Donald J. Trump Foundation, a small charity that he started, where you can see the public records, and we got that. That sort of began the fact-checking of Trump on this. And the more questions we asked, we didn't get very much out of the Trump campaign, and the more questions we had about what he had actually done.
You basically set out to do one of the riskier things you can do in reporting, which is to prove a negative. And it's the kind of thing that, not done right, can really blow up in your face. It could surface tomorrow, for example, that Trump has made dozens of donations for huge sums that you never found. But I thought you insulated yourself from that kind of criticism in a really ingenious way, which was framing your line of inquiry not as an effort to prove that Trump had been lying or that he had been inaccurate, but to prove him right. So tell us a bit about how that framing came to be and why in your newsroom you all decided that that was the right approach.
It began with a story we did back in April. The Trump campaign had actually released this 92-page list of what they said were Donald Trump's charitable donations, all these itemized gifts with dollar amounts, recipients. And we got that and looked at it and figured out that it was all, basically none of it was cash out of Trump's own pocket. Most of it was free rounds of golf that his golf courses had given away to local charities for auctions and fundraisers. None of it was money out of Trump's own pocket, the way that you traditionally think of as a rich person's philanthropy. And at the time, Trump's spokesperson said, yes, yes, there's no money from him out of his own pocket on this 92-page list, but that's because he gives personally. He gives in other ways. And we can't tell you how much, but we can tell you the money's out there. That was really frustrating to me because they're saying, only we can tell you the answer to this. Only Donald Trump knows the answer. And there's so many things about Trump, you know, his debt, a lot of his business operations. The only person who knows for sure is Trump. They were using it as kind of a dead end. And so we decided to give Donald Trump credit for this. Let's try to go out and see if we can find examples of these personal donations that he's claiming credit for. The Trump campaign offered no help in that. They gave us no suggestions about places to look, but we're trying to give Trump the benefit of the doubt. We did frame it that way because I didn't set out to prove a negative. There's a bazillion charities in America. You can't call every single one of them. Instead, I started out looking for evidence that there was something out there, right? If I found one big gift that we didn't know about before that really came out of Trump's own pocket, okay, well then that's the tip of the iceberg. You know there's something really there. And the longer this went on, when we didn't find that tip of the iceberg, we didn't find any iceberg at all, the more we became convinced this was an interesting line of inquiry. And also, one good thing about this is even though we haven't found any particular gifts from Trump, or we found maybe one from 2009, what we found with these phone calls, we found a lot of really interesting stories that tell you something about Trump himself and the way he treats charity. So even in finding nothing, I found a lot of something.
Right, right. And one thing that is common for investigative reporters is to be really discreet about what they're working on. I mean, some won't even share the details of their work with friends or relatives. But you got to a point where you were almost sort of live tweeting your reporting process. it was something I hadn't seen before, and I was wondering, first of all, how'd you come up with the idea, and at what point did you feel confident enough in your reporting on this topic that you felt like you were able to do that, and what was the rationale behind doing it so publicly?
This tactic of using Twitter and sort of a public search is something I started in May when we were still working on the veterans donation. Trump's people said to us, this is sort of a miniature version of the mystery donations I'm looking for now. Corey Lewandowski told me, Donald Trump has given away the $1 million he said he'd give to veterans, but we won't tell you where it went, who got it. It's a secret. Okay, so that's $1 million that we're just supposed to take on faith that Trump had given. And so what I started doing that day was realizing that Donald Trump and most of the Washington political press corps lives on Twitter. Twitter was where I needed to do my search. So instead of just calling large veterans groups to see if they got any of the money, I wrote to them on Twitter so everyone can see, so Trump could see and so the other journalists could see. They got a lot of attention from people and did two things in that case. It brought in suggestions of where else I might look, and it also attracted Trump's attention. So after a day of looking for this $1 million on Twitter, Trump admits that he hadn't actually given $1 million. When Lewandowski told me that he'd given $1 million, that was wrong. Trump gave $1 million in the middle of the night after I brought that attention to it on Twitter. You can see that Trump cared about that. So that was a way to apply pressure to him and maybe get some answers out of him that he wouldn't have felt compelled to give otherwise. So that's one reason to do this sort of publicly on Twitter, was you could tell Trump pays attention. Trump knows about it. Obviously, as you said, if Trump has given away charitable donations, he could stop my reporting in a second by just stepping outside and revealing them. And so I wanted to make him feel my inquiry, to know that I was out there and to see this inquiry going on. If he has that information, I'd love to have it. And this is one way of getting his attention.
Right. And you actually spoke to him personally, right, when he decided to give that $1 million.
He called me.
If I recall correctly, I think he called you a nasty guy. Is that right?
That's right. He called and he'd given the $1 million away basically in the middle of the night in one big fell swoop. We'd been told he was going to parcel it out to a bunch of groups. He'd given it away in one fell swoop to this one particular group, the Marine Corps Law Enforcement Foundation. I said to Trump, okay, it's been 4 months since you said you gave the $1 million, and you're only now giving it to this group. What took you so long? And he said, well, I had to vet the group. And I said, well, you didn't have to vet this group. You got an award, a lifetime achievement award from this very group in Manhattan last year. So clearly you know them. You weren't finding out about them for the first time. And he said, yeah, that's true. And I said, well, did you give this $1 million only because I was asking about it? And he said, you're a nasty guy. That was my one brush with Donald Trump. I haven't actually spoken to him since then. That was the end of May.
Right. But you did get a call from his son, Eric Trump. And initially, it seemed like Eric Trump was going to go ahead and prove that his father had donated significant sums personally, aside from that $1 million that we just talked about. Tell me about how that call came to be. And was it sort of a gut check for you initially when he called? Were you concerned that maybe there were significant sums that Trump had donated that you just hadn't been able to prove yet?
One of my big questions had been the Eric Trump Foundation. Eric Trump runs his own foundation. It's actually far more generous than Donald Trump's foundation, and it gives almost all of its money to St. Jude's in Memphis. One of my quick questions was, if Trump is giving any money out of his own pocket, you think maybe he would be giving some of it to the Eric Trump Foundation. So I've been calling out, looking for answers about Eric Trump on Twitter and writing about Eric Trump's foundation. Eric Trump called me, and as you said, the conversation was quite hostile at first. He, you know, was cursing, saying, you know, you're trying to blankety-blank kill us. Who is this guy? And so I asked him then, okay, did your father give your foundation money? To me, if he'd said something, it would have been a break in the case. It would have been something interesting. We would know more about Donald Trump if Eric Trump could say, yeah, he gave me $1 million last year. And what Eric Trump said was interesting. He said, oh, yes, he gives me lots and lots of money. I can't tell you exactly how much, but I know he gives me lots and lots, which is weird for somebody who runs his own foundation. You think Eric Trump would have a sense of how much money his father had given him. So we wrote that story. And then a few days later, after looking into it a little bit more, looking at the financials of the Eric Trump Foundation, I started to doubt that Donald Trump really had given him that much money. I talked to Eric again, and Eric Trump actually admitted, I can't remember any specific instance in which my father gave me money.
What clues led you to doubt that Trump had actually donated to his son's charity?
In the Eric Trump Foundation's charitable filings, and I didn't know this, I've learned so much about tax documents and other things from readers, some from experts that I've sought out in the course of this reporting, and sometimes just from readers who are tax law professors and offer suggestions. Essentially, you could read the Eric Trump Foundation's tax filings in a way that would tell you that there was an absence of something in the Eric Trump Foundation's tax documents, that if there had been a large sum of donations from a family member of a director of the Eric Trump Foundation, like Donald Trump, that would have shown up in a specific spot in the tax form 990 for the Eric Trump Foundation, and it wasn't there. And so these experts that I was talking to said, look, you can read that and see kind of by process of elimination that there haven't been huge donations from any family member of Eric Trump. And that's what got me back to him. And I asked him again, are you sure about this?
And you actually cited that discrepancy in the 990.
Yes, that's what we came back to him and said. To me, it's not ironclad. I'm not sure I would have trusted myself without a lot more reporting to say in the paper, look, I can prove that Donald Trump didn't give large amounts of money to Eric Trump's foundation. But it was certainly a strong indication that was enough to go back to Eric Trump and say, are you sure?
Right, right. At one point, you reported that Trump had promised that the proceeds of his vodka brand would go to the Walter Reed Society. And you had a board member acknowledge that he only donated a few $100s. Just using that example as a case study, was it difficult to get these folks who run charities to be basically sort of dishing negatively about a potential donor to a newspaper reporter? Was it tough to get these folks who run charities to be candid with you?
In general, it's been easier, actually, than I thought it would be. There have been a number of cases we've shown in our reporting where people have said no comment. But a lot of cases, people have gone and looked in their records and told us the truth, said that they didn't find any donations from Trump, or they found only donations from the Donald Trump Foundation, which is actually other people's money now. So I actually have been really pleasantly surprised. And much more than a majority of the cases that I've called, people have been willing to give us an answer.
Tell us about some of the weirder tips you've gotten. I mean, you've obviously gone public with your reporting, sort of crowdsourced the process in some ways. What have been some of the more interesting leads that have come in?
Gosh, there's been a number of them, but I'll give you a couple of my favorites. One has been, and this is three examples all in the same vein, I have readers who will go out and find things named after Donald Trump. Trump doesn't give very much money away, so it's not like he's another billionaire who has buildings and hospitals named after him. But readers found two theater seats, one in New Jersey and one in Palm Beach. I'm talking about like an actual just a seat in the theater with his name on it, and a park bench in New York City and Central Park. Those are the three things I've found that are actually named after Donald Trump. The whole legacy could fit in your back of your truck. But those things were all found by readers. I didn't know about them until readers sat down in their theater seat to watch whatever show and saw Donald Trump's name on the back, took a picture and texted me or tweeted me. That's been amazing. There's another example that somebody pointed out. On the day in late May, when Trump gave his $1 million away, he held a very angry press conference at Trump Tower to basically denounce the media and list off the recipients of the remainder of the money. He was giving away the rest of the money that other people had given him to give to veterans. That list was put together without a lot of vetting, apparently, because we wrote the story. And as I'm on the train headed back to D.C., a reader noticed that one of the things that he donated to, it was called the Foundation for American Veterans, I believe, a very generic sounding name, was actually like a terribly rated charity that had all these bad ratings from the Better Business Bureau and other people, other rating agencies for pressuring people to give. So that's the kind of thing that I'm just getting from readers who know the world of philanthropy and have started to pay attention. Those are two examples. There also was this thing about the Tim Tebow helmet, where a reader had spotted this picture of Trump at a charity auction with an autographed Tim Tebow Denver Broncos helmet that he'd bought. And that led us to this great story about how Trump had used charity money to buy this helmet for himself.
And that would have been problematic only if he had kept the helmet, or what was the issue there?
That's the funny thing. The IRS says that if you're the leader of a foundation, obviously you can't use your foundation's money to buy things for yourself. And so Trump bought this helmet for $12,000. He bought it literally at the highest point of its value, because as he was buying it, Tim Tebow's Broncos were getting destroyed by the Patriots. It was like the beginning of the end of Tim Tebow's career. But at that night, he bought a Tim Tebow helmet. He bought high for $12,000, and he paid with his charity's money. And so the question is, what became of it? If Trump has kept it and put it on display in his office or somewhere else, that's self-dealing. The IRS says you're not allowed to do that. If he had an office for the Trump Foundation, he could put it there, but there is no Trump Foundation office. It doesn't have any staff or any buildings or anything. And so in order to comply with the law, he has to have used the helmet for charitable purposes. He has to give it to a charity. And so the question is, what became of it? And we've got no answers from Trump about it. Eric Trump said he thought that his father had just given it to a random child, which is also not allowed by the IRS. So we've been trying to get people. That's one of the things I've been doing with this crowdsourcing, sort of as a way of interacting with the community. Not that I think they're actually going to find the Tim Tebow helmet under their coffee table, But it's been a fun thing to talk about, like looking for this helmet and where might it possibly be.
You're telling me the IRS will not allow Donald Trump to give the helmet to a child?
Eric Trump said he thought he just gave it to a random child. No, he has to give it to a charity. If you give it to a child, that does not count.
Right. Tell us about the cameo made by Muammar Gaddafi. That was one of the more interesting tidbits to arise out of all of this.
Sure. At one point, I'm forgetting the year, but I think it was 2009, Gaddafi comes to the United Nations in New York to give a speech, and he was looking for a place to stay. Gaddafi did not like to stay in buildings. He liked to stay in a Bedouin tent outdoors, a large Bedouin tent. And so he had rented from Trump space at this estate that Trump owns in Westchester County, New York. I think he paid like $150,000. And Trump, at the time, nobody mentioned this. But then 2 years later, after Gaddafi had been deposed and was killed in Libya, Trump was asked about this. Didn't you rent some property to Muammar Gaddafi for his tent? And he said, oh, yeah, I gave that all to charity. BuzzFeed actually did a really good story unpacking the whole Gaddafi-Trump affair. But the point was, he said he was going to give that $150,000 to charity. And that's a pattern. Trump said at one point that he was going to give all the money from Celebrity Apprentice to a charity. He said he was going to give the money from Crippled America, his last book, to charity. That's the millions and millions of dollars that supposedly he was giving to charity out of his own pocket that I'm looking for. So the Gaddafi money is like a bunch of money. I haven't been able to find any evidence that he actually gave it to anybody.
At one point, you got a tip, I believe, that Donald Trump had made a significant donation to a cancer center in Buffalo. It turned out to not be what it appeared, though. Can you tell us a little bit about where that tip came from, first of all, and what you learned after the fact?
Sure. One of the great things about the interaction with readers was that people had clued me in, and I was a politics reporter. I didn't know anything about the world of philanthropy before this began. There are these firms that basically compile databases of big charitable gifts by looking at annual reports, tax filings, so that if you're somebody who's raising money, you can buy a subscription and then look up and say, who's giving money to this cause that maybe I could hit up for my cause? Anyway, there's a firm called Donor Search that readers had pointed me toward, and I called them, and they pulled up their list of all the donations they had on file. You know, they look at 8 zillion donations and found all the donations that came from Donald Trump. It was a long list, pages and pages. And so a lot of them were the Trump Foundation, which, like I said, is other people's money. Some of them were Donald Trump Jr., like to his kids' school. But there were some that I couldn't account for otherwise. It seemed like maybe they were really – I had really found donations from Trump's own pocket. And they were like to the University of Pittsburgh and to a bunch of charities connected with the Roswell Park Cancer Center in Buffalo. And so I called those people and said, well, you know, what's the deal? Donald Trump, I don't know why, what his connection to Buffalo is, but has he given you money? And it was Donald Trump, but it was not the Donald Trump. It was a guy named Donald L. Trump, Skip Trump as he goes by, who's a cancer doctor. Now he works in Northern Virginia, but he was working as the head of Roswell Park Cancer Center in Buffalo. So I interviewed that Donald Trump. He's amazing. He's, as I said, a cancer doctor, but he had this whole story about how his philanthropy that he gives was grounded in his own gratitude at the life he'd been able to lead and his affinity for the patients and other doctors he'd worked for. So he'd helped his kids' school. He'd helped his school. And so he was interesting, but he hit up the other Donald Trump. Obviously, they're aware of each other. He had actually asked Donald Trump for a donation. And the first time, Donald Trump said no. He wouldn't even give money to the other Donald Trump. Later on, he had some success because Donald Trump, the nominee, was trying to get one of his friends into a clinical trial that the other Donald Trump oversaw. And in that interaction, Donald Trump agreed to give some money to help the Dr. Donald Trump's charity.
Would getting Trump's tax returns necessarily put an end to this mystery? I mean, would we know the full extent of his giving if he were to release those tax returns?
We should. I mean, his tax returns, I'm sure, are extremely complicated because a lot of the businesses he runs are owned entirely by himself. But yes, that's something that we would likely know if he released his tax returns, what percentage of his income he'd given to charity.
Donald Trump has personally given to some extent in the last 15 years and more so before that. At least there's evidence of it. Can you tell us a little bit about what the chronology is? It appears that there used to be a lot more evidence of him personally giving. And in the last 15 years, that's really dropped off. First, I was hoping you could share a sense of that. But then also, if you have any ideas on what may have caused that drop off.
In the late 80s, when The Art of the Deal comes out, this big book, Trump says, I'm going to give away the proceeds of The Art of the Deal. If you recall, the first page of The Art of the Deal says, I have more money than I'll ever need. I don't need any more money. And so you can't really well sell a book with that message and then just keep the money. So Trump said at the time, I'm going to give away the proceeds of The Art of the Deal to charity. And so he starts the Donald J. Trump Foundation. And that is, at the time, like a lot of rich people's charities. It's not as big as many rich people's charities, but it basically is a way for a rich guy to give his money away. The only money in the Donald J. Trump Foundation was from Donald J. Trump. And that was true for a while. Well, in the 80s, he gave it some amount of money. In the 90s, when he hit his financial troubles, he stopped giving it any money at all. As he made more money in the late 90s, early 2000s, he gave it a little bit more. But then about 2006, you see this really sharp shift where before, most of the money in the foundation was Trump's. And then in 2006, he spends the whole foundation down to about $4,000. And then he rebuilds it using almost exclusively other people's money. In 2007, he gives $35,000 to his own foundation. In 2008, he gives $30,000 and then nothing. Trump has not given any of his own money to his own foundation since 2008. And he starts getting other people to give him money. Then he basically flips the foundation on its head. What had been a vehicle for his personal charity was basically now a vehicle to prevent him from having to give to charity, because he could give away money under the name Donald J. Trump Foundation and the assumption in other people's minds that it was his money without having to actually spend any of his own money. So 2006 is basically 2006 to 2008, the lead up to the financial crisis is the inflection point. After 2008, it's all somebody else's money. I don't know personally. I haven't really been able to figure out into Trump's organization to figure out why that is. But it's a very stark shift from using his own money in relatively small amounts to not using any of his own money.
And you're saying that shift began after the economic downturn.
It precedes it. In 2007 and 2008, which were relatively good, you know, 2007 at least was like a relatively good year. It wasn't the height of the collapse. Trump almost entirely stops giving money to his foundation. So I don't actually know. I don't know enough about Trump's financial holdings. Certainly, he was making a lot of money off The Apprentice at that point. He wasn't, as he had been in the early 90s, very dependent on casinos and real estate. He had a pretty steady source of income. But for some reason, he just stopped giving money to it or to anything else, as far as I can tell.
Right. So there were obviously, you know, thousands upon thousands of charities out there that he may have given to, and it would have been impossible for you to reach out to all of them. So you had to figure out which ones were the most likely that he would have donated to. And in doing that, you reviewed his books, you reviewed his public comments, and another thing you did was review old episodes of The Apprentice. I was curious, how many episodes did you watch, and where did you find those episodes?
I did not watch any episodes. NBC, basically, I was surprised by this. It's almost impossible to get, or I found it impossible to get the actual videotapes of The Celebrity Apprentice. So we had to rely on episode recaps people had posted online. The Wikipedia page, which is actually, thank God, whoever made that, they kept very close track of all the times Trump said he was going to give money out of his own pocket. And then once we identified a case where we thought Trump had given his money out of his own pocket, Alice Kreitz, one of the Post researchers, searched basically a running, it's called Shadow TV, like a TV transcript service. Once you knew enough to search for Jose Canseco, $100,000, we found the actual transcript to know what Trump had specifically said. So I found some clips on YouTube. I spent a lot of time watching that show in clips on YouTube, but most of what we got came from this Shadow TV transcription service.
And you kept track of your work in sort of handwritten notes that you would post on Twitter. I was wondering, you know, why not in Excel? Why not? Why handwritten notes?
I do keep track of it in a Google Doc. I'm using a spreadsheet because otherwise if I spilled coffee in that legal pad, I'd be in such trouble. But I did it that way because I wanted to make my futility look interesting. And I wanted to give people who are watching and, you know, following along a sense of all that I was trying and the effort that I was putting in to try to find Trump's charitable donations. So it's one thing to just give a number or to give a list, but if you take a picture of a notepad showing your work, you can use different colored ink, so it's sort of visual where I've found that Trump gave no money, where I found that Trump did give money, and it's sort of arresting. It stands out in people's Twitter timelines and makes them look. And now that I've been doing it for a while, I think it reminds people of this ongoing story. Like when something happens, like the Tim Tebow helmet or the other Donald Trump, you can illustrate that tweet with a picture of your notepad and it links it back to this longer work people have been familiar with. So it's a way of sort of showing people that they're reading a part of this long story.
Do you think that's a technique that you would be able to use for future stories on unrelated subjects?
It's possible. I mean, this is a really unusual story. I've never found a story where, like, there's so much not finding something. It's continuing on over time. I mean, I think if this was a story where every entry was slightly different, that might be really hard to illustrate this way. But because there's such patterns, you know, there's three answers for each charity. It could either be never or no comment or, you know, a number for the last time Trump gave. That's simple enough that I think people can sort of look at a page and get a message without reading every line. I would certainly like to try it because it has actually built a really good community, and I think it has given people a real way of following my work that they might have not have otherwise. But I'm not sure there's going to be any other story or any other candidate like Trump that I could use it on.
Okay, thank you, David. That's it for this week's ProPublica podcast. Thank you all for listening.